C'è la luna, mezza mare, mamma mia, mi maradare. Figli mia, a cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a ola, io te va, io te viene sempre a baccalare dal manerene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalare, figli mia.
Oh mamma la 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 la. C'è la luna, mezza mare, mamma mia. Hey, how you doing out there, everyone? This is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And here we are on the market front. And what I'm going to do a little bit later on, I want to go over some of those top trends for 2017. History before it happens, because when we came out with that list about a month ago, excuse me, about 3 weeks ago, a lot's happened since then, and some of those trends are in play already. So we're going to go over those as well. But right now, you know, there's people look at the presidential election and they still look at it through the eyes of what they like and what they don't like, rather than what is. And as you well know, I'm no fan of Donald Trump, nor was I of Hillary Clinton. Both of them do not represent my values. So I look at what's going on, not because I like or dislike the person, it's just what is and what's going to be. And on the Donald Trump end with business, it's very different than what exists in politics. So people look at the people that he selected as his cabinet people. I have a little cough over here I'm trying to get over. Excuse me. And it's not about cabinet positions. Trump is different than a politician. He's a business guy. I mean, you can tell by him, his life is business. These are senior vice presidents rather than secretaries of this or that. In other words, he's going to run the show. On the business end of the people that he's bringing in billionaires and multimillionaires. What's the significance of that? Will they go in there to protect their business interests? Or will they go in to protect the business interests of the nation? So when you have the lower level cabinet positions, he's going to tell them what to do. On the higher level, they're going to agree what to do. Because you don't bring a billionaire in or a multi-millionaire and give that person orders. They don't do that. So on the business front, he's brought in some very capable business people. I mean, call it what it is. Ruthless, ruthless business people. So what does that mean? Well, if they use their talents to renegotiate lousy deals that had been made, I mean, NAFTA's a disgrace. 22 years of negative deficits with Mexico, complete reversal of what it used to be before George Bush Sr., you know, got it all in play, and they couldn't sell it to the American public. They needed a Democrat to do it, and Slick Willie Clinton did. So those deals are going to be renegotiated. And you have in there guys that, you know how to do this stuff. Politicians don't. All politicians are interested is in themselves. These are the same people you couldn't stand in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council. So they're not really good at that stuff. And I've been there. I worked up in the New York State Senate. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the Senate. So I saw how politicians operate. And again, there aren't the brightest cats out there. So when we look at the Trump phenomenon, look at what the equity markets are doing. We just had 16 days of record-breaking days, one after another. This thing's been soaring. Is it going to pull back? Sure it will. However, we've changed our forecasts and seeing what's going on. The dollar's going to get much stronger. We're going to see today, later today, and we'll find out around 2 o'clock what the Federal Reserve is going to do. It's about a 100% sure bet they will raise interest rates this month. We'll find out again at 2 o'clock. But the question is going to be, how much are they going to raise them and how much they'll raise them in 2017? Now remember, when you went back a year ago, just a year ago today, the Fed raised interest rates for the first time in nearly 10 years. So now this is going to be the second time, the first time this year. When they met last year at this time, they sent out the lie that they were going to raise them 4 times in 2016. So now here we are near the end of 2016, and a couple of days left. And they're going to raise them just once. I shouldn't say lie. Propaganda would be more appropriate because they didn't say we're going to. They kept pushing the message out there. What that message also did, by the way, was dramatically push down the price of gold. Because when the dollar gets strong, interest rates go up, gold bears no interest. So you go into treasuries and other interest-bearing equities to make money. So what they did all throughout last year, or this year, I should say, is they kept coming out with, they're going to raise interest rates. They're going to raise interest rates, and that drives down the price of gold. So going back to Trump, we've changed our forecast on gold. And that is that to still, and again, we do not give financial advice. As I mentioned, we changed our forecast. And our forecast is this. As the dollar gets stronger, all of these emerging markets that borrowed all this money, this cheap, when they had cheap dollars, have to pay it back now. And as the dollar gets stronger, their currencies get weaker, which means they need more of their money to pay back the debt, corporate and private, well over $10 trillion just recently they picked up. So, going back to gold, gold is the safe haven commodity. Gold sales, physical gold sales, are up some 20-25% in China. And China, and people are going to disagree with me, but this is a fact, buys more physical gold than any other country, even more than India. What they're doing in India is they're trying to stop the sale of gold because they have that currency crisis going on right now where they pulled in all the higher-end rupees, about 86% of all the currency out there, and it's total chaos. So what would you rather have? Rupees that you had to cash in for new ones. And if you had to cash them in, you had to tell them where you got it from if it was over a certain denomination so they could get tax money from it. Well, gold. Because gold you always could sell. So they're trying to buy gold, but they're really restricting it in India. In India, you know, they love gold. So the physical demand for gold keeps rising around the world. The equity markets are different, the commodity markets.
It's gamblers. And the big gamblers control that market. So they're called naked shorts. They put a lot of short selling on the gold commodities, and it drives down the price. So under a strong dollar, gold is not going to escalate like it did in the earlier part of this year, because the dollar is now hitting 14-year highs. However, we still forecast gold to be the best safe haven commodity on Mother Earth right now. Of course, the way things are going, food and water is going to be another one of them. Particularly clean water. So there we are. So our forecast is the economy is going to continue to gain strength, not a booming economy, but better than we've seen. And the psychological impact of what Trump is doing on the business field also counts. So, for example, what he did with Carrier and keeping some of those jobs here, regardless of how the deal was done, there's a psychological benefit to it. And that's what you're going to see more and more of. The psychological counts as much as the financial. Small business expectations right now are at a decade high. It means something. It's like in your own life. You got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Latch onto the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. That was a great old song by Jimmy Lunsford. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. And Trump is anything but in between. Politicians are. What do they call the parties? Center. Mainstream. Right? That's the language they use. He's none of them. He's got his own stream to set. And that's what he's doing. So we're going to see a very strong business influence in the White House. It's already in front of us. And again, we don't look at these people as cabinet members. We look at them as, under the Trump administration, senior vice presidents or executive vice presidents. And he's the boss. And any boss runs the company. And that's all it's going to be. He's in charge. And there's no one there to stop him. Congress will do what they're told to do. He'll go to the people direct if they don't. And that's what we're looking at, a very different climate in the White House. And it's positive for business. And by the way, this, what I'm saying to you, is the exact opposite what the major media had forecast. This was from December 7th, the day before Election Day. Excuse me, November 7th, the day before Election Day. Dow roars 371 points after FBI clears Clinton again. You know, it's a wild election season when a letter from the FBI sparks a global stock market rally. The Dow soared 371 points on Monday, the biggest burst of buying since late January, after FBI Director James Comey sent a letter to Congress on Sunday, once again clearing Hillary Clinton in its email investigation. The S&P 500 also jumped 2.2%, ending a 9-day streak of losses, the longest such slump since 1980. The NASDAQ raced 2.4% higher. The latest FBI bombshell is clearly being interpreted on Wall Street as a boost to Clinton, the favored candidate of investors. Investors are essentially voting with their money about which candidate they think would be better for the market. Quote, there's no doubt that the day after the election, there will be less uncertainty if Hillary Clinton wins than if Donald Trump does, said David Kelly, chief global strategist for J.P. Morgan Funds. In fact, there's a new Deutsche Bank research that predicts the opposite, a 10% plunge for European stocks if Trump wins on Tuesday. CNN, 7 November 2016. The exact opposite happened. CNN and their paid-for-hire experts got it 100% wrong. Hey, was it fake news or pure stupidity? Trump's win ignited an historic equity market record-breaker rally. Those are the facts. So all of America's corporate media club got the not only the race for the White House wrong, the ABCs, CBS, MSNBCs, NPRs, New York Times, they got their economic forecasts wrong too. The exact opposite happened. So, you know the motto of the Trends Journal, think for yourself. It's not whether or not you like Trump. It's what's going on, what will be the implications, trends and consequences. By the way, that would be a good cabinet position. Maybe we should try to start one. Secretary of Trends and Consequences, what will be the implications of the actions taken? So, there we have it. When you talk about fake news, which they're talking about all the time, to us, this is just a cover-up for the losses that I just mentioned to you. They got the election wrong, and they got the economy wrong. How about that for fake news? Or is it pure stupidity? The entire media got it wrong. We got it right. It's in our Trends Journal. In May and in July, we had forecast Trump a winner. And said the only thing that could defeat him was himself. And he almost did. Can you imagine if a real statesperson ran against Clinton? Poof. Would have been a real landslide on the popular vote. So, on the fake news front, I want to read you something from the toilet paper of record, the great propaganda organ of the New York Times. These are the people who don't forget that sell us wars like the one in Libya. They lied us into the Iraq war, promoted the Afghan war. They love it. And when I say they lied us into the Iraq war, yeah, this is the paper that put out that thing about Saddam Hussein having them aluminum tubes or whatever, you know, yellow cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake, yeah. So, this is a story by Jason Horowitz. And after you read it, I wondered, oh, this guy's the perfect prostitute. Maybe Horowitz should be spelled with a W-H rather than an H. Because this guy is a prostitute supreme. With success comes dissension from an anti-establishment party rising in Italy. On a gently curving street, lined with furriers and antiquarians, sits a yellow building with a tinseled fake Christmas tree in the foyer. But unlike the real estate agents and lawyers working above and below, the employees in the second floor offices are busy managing online elections, spreading fake news, and fomenting political revolution. They're spreading fake news, huh? What fake news are they spreading? No, you made a comment. Horowitz. You said they were spreading fake news. I read this entire article. You mentioned they were spreading fake news 3 times in this article, and Horowitz, you don't show one example. And who is Horowitz speaking about? The employees work for a firm of Casaleggio. The firm of Casaleggio Associates, the unlikely nerve center propagating the bare-knuckle message of Italy's anti-establishment five-star movement. That's right, Cinque Stelle. So these Casaleggio Associates, according to Horowitz, are spreading fake news and fomenting a political revolution. A revolution of disgust from the people that are destroying their country. The five-star movement, who, according to Horowitz, elected a woman mayor of Rome, Virginia Raggi, 37 years old. The five-star movement, Cinque Stelle, elected a woman as the mayor of Torino, the fourth largest city in Italy. Oh, yeah, Horowitz. Spreading fake news. One after another, 3 times, here. And Casaleggio Associates, the administrator of Mr. Grillo's widely popular blog, that's Beppe Grillo, who's a comedian who started this, to spread, yeah. I'm going to read it again. Casaleggio Associates, the administrator of Mr. Grillo's widely popular blog, uses its affiliated websites to spread fake news that has damaged the party's political enemies. Okay, Horowitz, or is it Knowitz? What fake news? Show us. No, because you're propagandists, you don't have to show us. Just like you lied in the New York Times to get the people to support the war in Iraq. Horowitz? You call yourself a journalist? You use the term fake news in your BS story over here and don't provide one example of it? Disgraceful. But that's what the media has become. And that's why it's one of our top 10 trends. RIP, the fourth estate, rest in peace. Because of pieces of crap like this. There is no fourth estate anymore. The newspaper's business is dying. dying and dumb-sized. Dumb-sized down to nothing. They're putting these big filler stories in the New York Times that go on for like page after page. And what are they doing with this stuff? About nothing. Just filling up space. Wall Street Journal, shadow what it used to be just a month ago. About 40% less content. Dumb-sized down. I wonder why the media lost the election. So that's one of our top trends, by the way. Rest in peace, the Fourth Estate. Fake news, they're going to try to do everything they can to stop people like myself, people on Progressive Radio Network that don't buy their BS, to discredit us. Just by using words like this guy used to discredit the five-star movement, Cinque Stelle. The five-star movement that defeated Renzi's former prime minister, he resigned, constitutional amendment 2 weeks ago. That five-star movement that has about 30% popularity, one of the most popular parties in Italy. They got a lot of parties over there. And he calls it fake news. So what the media is going to continue to do, because they're losers by the facts, they've lost. They lost calling the election. And as I read to you, they call the economy dead wrong. They're losers. So they're going to keep attacking people as they're doing now with, you know, them Russians. They hacked into, they fixed the race. They wanted Trump to win. All right, what did the Russians, let's suppose the Russians did do it, which, again, when you really read into it, there is no fact to support it, that they did it. But let's suppose they did. What did they do? Oh, well, they hacked into John Podesta's emails. John Podesta, yeah. Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, right? Yeah, that guy. The guy that went over to the Javits Center in New York, and all those Hillary supporters are waiting for her to come out and give her a concession speech. That John Podesta, this arrogant guy, bounces out there. All right, it's time to go home. Everybody needs a good night's sleep. We'll readdress this tomorrow morning. Thanks for coming. And Hillary Clinton must have been so out of it, man. Nobody talks about it. She must have been so destroyed, she couldn't talk. She didn't have the courage to go back to the Javits Center where the people were waiting for hours and hours to give a concession speech. So Podesta. Yeah, that guy. So let's suppose the Russians hacked into his... He goes, listen to me. He used that twice when he talked to the people. Listen to me. Yeah, listen to you. So let's suppose the Russians did. What did they do? They revealed what scum the Democratic National Committee is, and had a shafted Bernie Sanders, BS Bernie. Like him or not, he got the shaft. What else did they do? Well, they showed how they were in bed with all the prostitutes. It showed what an organization at front the Clinton Foundation is. The Russians did that? Well, they say they did. So what? And Julian Assange, who, of course, denies that the Russians did it, and he was the person involved with the WikiLeaks. But what does he know? So the mainstream media, rest in peace. And the gap is there to be filled. It will be filled. Whether Google or Facebook or others try to stop alternative media, something new will pop up. People will stop using Google and Facebook. They'll go where they can get true free speech. So there we have it. It's one of our top trends. The other ones are, make it new. Trump proved it. As I said, he defeated everybody. The media, the Democrats lost both houses, beat Obama. He beat Silicon Valley. The billionaires gave multi-millions to Clinton. Google ran her algorithms and ran the whole internet show, or parts of it, gave advice, according to WikiLeaks. Hey, wouldn't have known that without WikiLeaks, huh? Boy, those Russians, yeah, they were doing this to go after Google. Yeah, right. Let's be 6 years old and be stupid and believe these lines. Clinton lost because of that information. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Whoever put it out there, boy, I'm glad you did it. And all of Hollywood lost. The Spielbergs, the Katzenbergs, they all lost. The Cloonies, the De Niros, hated Trump. They all lost. Make it new. You can make whatever you want. Trump showed it. Economic disorder, another big trend. I started off by talking about the economy. What's going to be good for America is not going to necessarily be good for the rest of the world, because a strong dollar is going to put a lot of pressure on those emerging markets with all their debt, and they got to pay it back in dollars. And their currencies are getting weaker. Make America great again. That was the Trump campaign slogan. Again. When was make America great again? When was the again? So you don't have to decide when it was. Think about what you think it was. And then consider bringing back some of that past and retrofitting it for the future in products, architecture, art, a lot of different ways. You can see people's passion for it. True nostalgia. Make America great again. And another trend, as I said, was RIP, the Fourth Estate. The newspaper business is going out. There's going to be a point where you're not going to get newspapers, you know, your local newspaper that's printed every day. You'll probably get it 5 days a week. And I talked about Silicon Valley and how they got beat in the election. It's bigger than that. We're going to start looking at Silicon Valley Rust Belt 2.0. The mine doesn't need a location. The Rust Belts, they needed a location for either transportation, whether on waterways or seaports, rail lines, or had natural resources that built those cities. Unlike the Rust Belt, you know, mine could travel anywhere, and it's traveling far and wide. So Silicon Valley, to us, is very stilted in a closed mind. And you're going to start seeing more and more technological advancements springing out of China, and already out of South Korea, a big one, and throughout the world. The mind has no location. So remember, anyone listening, please feel free to call in if you have any questions at all. regarding the top trends of 2017 and how you can profit from them. So with the Trends Journal, you can see the future. And again, you can subscribe to the Trends Journal by going to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, and go to the order page. It's right there. And if you're not, you can't afford it. It's only 29 cents a day. But people are having a difficult time. There's a discount request page for people that truly need help. We try to make history before it happens available to everyone. So, again, it's only $99 a year for the digital edition. And we're still old-fashioned. We have that wonderful print edition. It's full color. It's what a cross between what Time magazine used to be and Life magazine used to be. I don't even think they print Life anymore. But it's history before it happens. And some of the other trends is, we call it VR-ED, virtual reality education. It's a big one. And it's going to blossom. The whole education system's an industrial age model. It's not working. You can see with the numbers that come out and how poorly the United States ranks. Although we spend more money in education than just about anybody, we don't even win place or show in the categories of education according to other OECD member countries. Organization of Cooperation and Development. So virtual education is no longer for just video gaming or to experience you're in another part of the world. You're going to be in another classroom. But unlike having these teachers that, you know, you got to pass a test to teach you, you know, the stupid test they give you, you got to become a teacher. With virtual education, you'll get the best teachers in the world if you seek them out. It's a virtual classroom. That's big news. And it's really going to change the whole education system. More than that, it will even be to the point where the student, particularly younger children, to be able to find out through all different kinds of means of testing what the capabilities, strengths, and weaknesses of the student are. And design a virtual education system for that student rather than general education. Yeah. Biology, algebra. I hated that stuff. Had to go to summer school for algebra. I failed it again. I couldn't do it. My mind doesn't operate like that. I had trouble learning. Biology. Oh, my God, was that boring. Chemistry. Oh, yeah. So with virtual education, it'll really be customized for the individual, but having the availability to go to the best in the world to learn from in a virtual classroom. You'll think you're there. Boy, it'll save a lot on taxes, won't it? We won't need all these school buildings, and all these teachers. Boy, ready for that one. And of course, when you think about all these things that I'm talking about, one of our top trends are becoming an on-trendpreneur. Make it new. If you're an on-trendpreneur, play the trump card. If you're an on-trendpreneur, as I said, Make America Great Again is going to be a very nationalistic movement like you're seeing around the world. I mentioned the Five Star Movement, Cinque Stelle, populist movements, they call them. These people wanted to retain their identity and tired of the elites running and ruining their countries. So back to America, made in America with pride, products. And advertising them as such. So, you play the Trump card, if you're going to make sneakers, you advertise them over in Oregon or Washington, wherever Nike is, so Phil Knight, the owner of Nike, can hear your ad. And you play the Trump card. Like he called out Crooked Hillary to her face, you call out Nike for using slave labor workers to make his shoes or sneakers, marking up the price ridiculously and then selling them to Americans. So you call out Knight, play the Trump card. Whatever product you're making, play the Trump card. Call out the competition that's inferior. So again, it's not whether or not you like the guy, it's what is. And the what is that he's going to run this country like a business. Period, paragraph. Like a business. And he's had his ups and downs in business, like we all had. But, you know, you got to call it what it is. Call a spade. And he's, you know, very successful. And the people he's bringing around him are very successful business people. Of course, again, I'd prefer a statesperson rather than a business person. But that's the way it is. Play the Trump card. Become an entrepreneur. Think about virtual education. See the future. True nostalgia. True nostalgia, one of those things, they used to have a thing called cash. And boy, oh boy, is the world weaning itself away from cash. What happens over there in India, they're calling in all of those rupees, and now all of a sudden people are using different ways to electronically pay for what they buy. Sweden, Denmark. Cashless society. So they could track every penny that you spend. How you spent it, where you spent it, what you're doing with it, and most of all, so they could get their share of it, the government. They got a full control over what you own. Where you're going, talk about Big Brother, whew, there's big money. No more cash. Cashless society. Speaking of which, by the way, I was mentioning earlier about if you live in one of these countries with the dollar getting stronger and their currency is getting weaker, over there in China, they have a real problem. Trump is 100% wrong when he says that China is devaluing their currency purposely. They're trying to do everything they can to keep it from going down. They just spent $70 billion last month trying to prop it up. Last month it was $70 billion of outflows out of China. They're doing everything they can to stop the outflows, and their cash reserves have gone down to $3 trillion, and they're trying to prop up the yuan. So they have capital flight that they're trying to stop. So too are other countries. But I'm making the point also because not only are people buying gold in China, They're driving up the price of bitcoins. That's right. Knowing that their currency is getting weaker, harder to buy gold, they're buying bitcoins. And they've just drove the price of bitcoins up to what? About a 34-month high. So again, you have to put the trends together to see where they're going. And where they're going is good business for America in the business end, and a positive element as well with Trump on the front of the global economy. In the sense that countries are going to become more self-sustaining. So on a global scale, for globalized multinationals, it might not be that good. But for the small business owners, optimism skyrocketing following Trump victory. The November reading of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, Small Business Optimum Index jumped 98.4 from 94.9, its sharpest surge since 2009. Remember 2009? The nation was all optimistic about the new president bringing in hope and change you could believe in. But on the other note of optimism with Trump, or positive direction, I should say, rather than putting a value judgment on it, positive or negative, was a value, that on foreign policy, you know, he's talking about not toppling governments, not arming those moderate rebels that we can't see the faces of in Syria that have caused all this devastation thanks to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. The war criminals. Assad has to go. Who are they to say Assad has to go? How dare they? Look what they've done. Over 400,000 Syrians murdered in a war being funded by the Saudis, who bought more weapons in the Arab League under Obama than any other president. Where are the liberals saying, hey, that's great what Trump is saying. No more toppling foreign governments. We got lockjaw. So, again, positive moment. Will there be protectionism? To an extent. But it's about business. You think China's going to get all up in arms? That they're going to renegotiate a deal? Of course they might. But who do they sell to? The United States. Were they going to say, we're not going to sell to you anymore? And a lot of these Chinese, you know, the government-owned businesses backed by Chinese government. So, China's still in play big time. It's one of our top trends for 2017. Sell and buy China. There was a story about what they're doing, smaller Chinese investors, middle class, with all the apps that they have now, they're bypassing everybody, and they're investing all around the world. Actually, there was a story in the New York Times yesterday, or the day before, about this guy in Brooklyn who wanted to buy this building in Bedford-Stuyvesant section. They needed a couple of million bucks, $1.3 million, whatever it was, and small-time Chinese investors put it out there. They invested in it. So buy and sell China. It's 1.35 billion people. America's what, 320 million people? We don't even add up to the 0.35. They're not going anywhere. It's only business. And with Trump It's going to be the bottom line. So whatever you're making a product, want to import a product, export a product, do business there, bring people here, do it in some way. Buy and sell China. They're not going away. And of course, reefer madness, or I should say reefer money madness. Right now, a lot of those stocks are down because of Trump's pick, this guy Jeff Sessions, who said, you know, he's not a marijuana fan. But what they're missing with this guy Sessions is that he is against the severe prison systems that was served on people, thanks to Bill Clinton, by the way, for having crack and powder cocaine. So that's a positive. Again, not a value judgment. It's a positive. He may be on one end, they don't, the federal government's not going to legalize it, but it's out of their control. The states are doing it. And I don't believe Trump is going to make pot a big issue. I mean, the guy's a New Yorker. I mean, come on. Are you thinking any of his kids ever got high? Oh, Bill Clinton, he smoked, but he didn't inhale. I forgot. Maybe his kids did. Trump is not going to play the big card here, the moral card that we have to stop pot and start persecuting and prosecuting state by state. So we still see a lot of money being made in reefer money madness. But beyond just the medical and the recreational use of it, it's the machinery that's going to be developed or being developed that's going to build the market of that as well. Look at the tax revenues. They got more tax revenues in Colorado from pot sales than they did from liquor sales. That's a big one. And states need money. So start seeing marijuana in different kinds of products. Again, beyond recreational and medical. Yeah, I mean, still be recreational to a sort, medical to a sort, but in different kinds of products. So identify them. See where they're going. Hit the winners. So today is a big day on the financial front. Those are some of the top trends for 2017 that I just mentioned. If you want to get the list, go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. There's a video up there as well of me discussing them. The future's in your hands, and I have to tell you, I've been very, very negative on the economic growth in this country. But we've changed our forecast with Trump coming in. So today, the big day is going to hear from the Federal Reserve in just 2 hours, a little over 2 hours. They're going to announce whether or not they're going to raise interest rates, which everybody believes they are. And I say everybody because the odds are about 98% that they will. And what the future is going to bring. And that will affect the price of gold. The higher the rates go, the lower gold prices in America. But the world is bigger than America. So the future's in your hands. I mentioned the economic problems that you're going to see with the emerging markets and declining currencies. It's bigger than America. The top trends will put you in place to profit like no other magazine will help you. Take a global view of events. Don't get caught up in this prostitute media of fake news posing as real news. Don't get caught up with the hatred that political opponents have for each other. Look at it for what it is. You didn't create it, but you can create the future, because it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. So thank you very much for tuning in today to Trends This Week. It's very exciting times. And as I said, I believe it's time to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative and don't become Mr. or Mrs. In Between. This is a new game out there. Never seen anything like it before. So thank you again for tuning in to Trends This Week. Always feel free to call in with questions. Love to hear from you. And any ideas or suggestions you might have, or topics you'd like to talk about. One person with courage makes a majority.
And see who's looking in my window. It's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the baker boy, he will come and he will go, and he will always mix the flour in the pan. If you marry the baker boy, he'll have the cannoli in his hand. And he's got the instruments in his hand.